Bless your heart. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with us to Mark chapter 8. We read from John chapter 19, where they took Jesus and they crucified him at Calvary. How could such a thing take place? We're going to roll back just a few days to where Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples. I'm going to see something take place. In preparation for that, we're going to see what Jesus had to say about what's going to take place in the life of this man, Judas. Mark chapter 8, the Bible says in verse number 35, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" We exchange things for other things all the time. But sometimes it's just not available anymore. My wife, she was on, you know, that Facebook thing that Kim was talking about. And she saw on there someone had a baby grand piano that they wanted to give away. And we were driving back from Orlando at the time. And she's, you know, she's riding there. She says, "Mark," she said, "there's somebody who's wanting to give away a piano." So she called about it and found out about it. And she said, "Boy, that sounds great. That'd be marvelous." And I bought her a keyboard about 20 some years ago. And honestly, one of the benefits of a keyboard, I thought, was that they have a headphone jack. A piano doesn't, you know, but I don't think she's ever used that headphone jack. But I love her music. I love to listen to her play. And so we were on our way back there and talked with them. And before we could get things worked out, you know, to go and to, she called back and she said, "Somebody came to look at it with a truck and it's gone." Just gone that fast. It was gone. When, if you live up north, good to see some of our folks traveling back down south. Good to see you all. I saw the Krauses and I'm going to get in trouble, start calling names, start not calling other names. But good to see you. Good to have you back down here in the warm, sunny south. But up north, they get that white stuff. It's called snow. And at times, they would call for snow. And it wouldn't snow an inch. But yet, all of the eggs would be gone. All the bread would be gone. All the milk would be gone out of the grocery stores. I'm just poof. It's just gone. They're calling for 6-8 inches, ice and all kinds of things. And people just hit the grocery stores like crazy. For us down here, how many of you thought, "Well, you know, honey, that hurricane looks like it's going to come at us now. And it's a category 3. It's a category 4. It's a category 5. Do we have enough water? Do we have enough, you know, everything that we need?" If you were like me and went to Walmart, you saw empty shelves. They were sold out. Sold out. Now, someone was willing to buy. I was willing to buy. But there was nothing to be bought. It had already been sold. I'm going to speak to you this morning on this subject. Sold out. Sold out. And before you think that this is a real positive message, I don't believe it's going to be, because the one who was sold out to the devil. He sold out to the devil. You're in Gospel of Mark. Turn over just a few pages to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14 and verse 16, the Bible says, "And his disciples went forth." Mark 14, verse 16. "And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them. And they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. Never as harsh of a statement as this one about someone's eternal soul from the lips of our Savior. It'd be better for him never have been born. He was sold out. Instead of sold out to the Savior, he was sold out to Satan. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the music, preparing our hearts to worship and to seek after you. I pray, Lord, that if there's one person here that does not know you in the forgiveness of sin, Lord, save their lost soul, I pray today. And Lord, I pray that we would be prepared and willing to say, Lord, whatever my life is, I give it to you. I surrender my future to you. I give my career. I give my finances. I give my family. Lord, whatever you want to do with me, Lord, I give it to you. And you said that you would give that type of a believer an abundant life. So help us, Lord. Help us to learn from the mistakes of others and the obedience of others. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Sold out. Sold out. Some people sell out for possessions. They sell out for possessions. They have a craving. They have a desire to have things. Houses and lands. Cars and toys. Money and clothes. Now, is there anything wrong with houses? No. Is there anything wrong with an automobile, cars, RVs, anything wrong with those things? No, no. Anything wrong with money? No, we have to have money to live. Nothing wrong with clothes. But when someone lives their life for those things, they have a craving. They will do anything to get the newest, to get the latest, to get the most powerful, the most popular possessions. Jesus said, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? There are people today, unlike you, that decided to exchange today for something else. They said, you know, this is not the Lord's day. They referred to it as weekend. And I deserve a break today. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe everyone needs a rest. I believe that everyone should unplug. And Vance Havner once said, if you don't come apart, you will come apart. You know, and so that's fine. That's dandy. But you see, people today are looking for things to keep them out of God's house, out of church, out of worshiping, because it's right in our face that Jesus must be magnified. He must be lifted up. Possessions. Jesus said it this way. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the world has possessions. The world has possessions. And they're fleeting. And they rust. And they break. And they have to be fixed. And they have to be maintained. And all those kinds of things. The more things you have, the more complex your life becomes. I've learned that. Possessions can distract us from God's will. And here in this case, that was probably a big part of what Judas was seeking after. After all, it was 30 pieces of silver that he accepted, that he sold the Lord Jesus Christ for. I'm wondering today, is there a price tag on your soul? Is it possessions? Is it possessions? You see, you can chase after possessions, or you can seek the one who provides provision. He will provide provision for us. Or you can try to just do it all on your own. That fails. That fails. Possessions. Some people exchange their soul for possessions and they sell out. Some people exchange their soul for pleasures. Pleasures. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:25, speaking of Moses, the Bible says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Any preacher that gets up and says that there's no fun in sin is lying. The Bible says that there's pleasures in sin for a season. For a season. For a time. And just when you think that you've got a hold of it, listen to the testimony of Solomon, the one who had the greatest possessions, the one who had the greatest pleasures, the one who had the greatest power and all that kind of thing. And he said, it is vanity. It is emptiness. It's like reaching out and trying to get a hold of a soap bubble, one of those beautiful bubbles. You blow and bubbles go, and then you try to capture it and catch it and hold it in your hand, and it's gone. Say, well, I need a bigger one. You ever seen those kind that they're great big hoops and they can take it and make a great big bubble? It doesn't matter how big it is. You try to get a hold of it and capture it. It's gone. And Solomon chased after pleasures. There wasn't a thing that he sought after that he denied himself. And he said, it's all vanity. It's all emptiness. Immorality. Substances. Folks, you know, a lot of people think that we can handle and cope with our sin. There are people who think that social drinking is all right. And I'm going to make some people mad here today. Because I know that in our churches that this has creeped into homes. And you may never find yourself on Skid Row. You may never find yourself having to go to an AA meeting because you're just getting the tremors and the shakes because you have to have your alcohol. You might be able to control it. Listen, please, there are people that are around you that are watching you. There's children and there's grandkids. Papaw does this, so I'm going to do it too. And you're going to find it will ruin their life. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And you might wonder, well, why did they get on heroin? Why did they get on some kind of substance that destroyed their body and things? Seeking after pleasures just like dad. Seeking after pleasures just like mom or grandparents. Possessions. Pleasures. The world offers possessions. The flesh is the target of pleasures. You know what God offers in place of pleasure? He offers peace. Amen. Many times, listen please, many times people numb their reality with the pleasures of this world. They numb it because they don't want the feeling, whether it's entertainment or whatever the case may be, the pleasures of this world. And they numb their reality with those things. Because they have questions they cannot answer. Because they have needs that cannot be fulfilled. Because Jesus Christ is on the throne of their life. Let me tell you something. The greatest peace you'll ever find is through Jesus Christ being in charge of your life. Amen. Judas didn't have any of this. Seeking after and chasing possessions. Seeking after and chasing pleasures. Some people seek after and chase power. Power. The thought of being in control, the thought of position and popularity, the thought of rebellion, revolution, all these kinds of things. By the way, this is the sin that caused Satan to fall, Lucifer, from his son of the morning. If you look at the word sin, the letter in the middle is what? You look at the word pride. The letter in the middle is what? I. The problem with sin is I. Is, and here the disciples said, Lord, is it I? Is it I? Each one of the disciples. And if you look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you read this account of the upper room, and you put it all together so you have the full picture of what took place, you find that at the Last Supper, we're going to observe the Lord's table in just a few moments. And as Jesus passed the bread and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." This is, he took the juice. And by the way, it was the fruit of the vine, Jesus described it as in the Gospel of John. "I will not eat or drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink it new with you in the kingdom." So we don't have fermented wine. That's corrupted grape juice. And the blood of Jesus Christ had no corruption in it. So it's a truer picture, and it's in accordance with God's word. But this thing of him there with the disciples, and he said, "One of you shall betray me." You know, God knows the future, and he still gives us opportunity to repent. God knows the future, and he still loves us. God knows the future, but he does not deprive us of our own free will to choose. We're going to walk out that door, and we're going to go, and many of us get in a vehicle, and we're going to choose to go home. We're going to choose to go see family. We're going to choose to go pick up something to eat. We're going to choose to do certain things, go to the grocery store, whatever the case may be. And you have free choice. You have free will. Many of us are going to meet back together here tonight. We're going to have church service. We're going to study in God's word what the Bible says about how to pray for revival. How to pray for revival. And many of us are going to come back here, not because you don't have anything to do, not because you're not tired. Many of the people who come back worked all day yesterday outside, digging holes. Their shoulders are aching right now. You know, every time they lift their hand to shake hands with somebody, their triceps are barking at them. People have been painting, people have been cooking to feed the workers, all that kind of thing. They spent all day yesterday, and they're here this morning, and they're going to come back tonight. It's not because we're not tired. It's not because we don't have anything better to do. It's because the doors are open, an opportunity for us to submit and surrender our heart and our life to the Lord Jesus. Say, "Lord, how can I live for you in a better way? I'm going to lay down my life for you. You don't ask for much. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Is it a football team that's playing this afternoon or this evening? Is it a race? Is it an activity? What is it that causes us to sell out? Possessions? God says, I'll give you provision. Pleasures? God says, I'll give you peace. Is it that we're seeking power? God says, I'll give you authority. Authority. You can walk in my will, in my steps, as a child of the King. What greater power would you ever want than be a son of the Almighty God? To be able to go to the throne of grace and say, Lord, this is a need that I have. My son, my daughter, my grandchild, please, dear God, work a miracle. There's some of you that are going to surgery, are going to testing this on tomorrow. Others in the coming weeks. I ask you today, are you walking with Jesus Christ? Are you walking with him? Seeking power, seeking some kind of position or popularity. You know, we see in the Word of God many times that people selling out what God wanted for them. Do you remember a guy by the name of Esau? He had a twin brother named Jacob. And they were as different as night and day. Esau was a hunter. He was a rough and tumble guy. Jacob was smooth. He was smooth externally. He was smooth internally. He was a smooth operator. And he could twist things around, and he was fast with his talk and all this kind of thing, manipulating kind of person. That's just how different they were, even though they were twins. The Bible says that Esau was out hunting one day, and he hunted and hunted and thought for sure he's going to come back with some big deer and some great kill that he brought with him, and he had nothing. He was parched. He was starving. And there's Jacob in the kitchen. I'm not saying anything about that. He's just a good cook, you know. Mama taught her boy how to cook, and he could cook. And he made some great vegetable stew. Esau had some of that stew before. And as he got close to the house, he could smell it. Now, I was talking with our ladies that were cooking here on yesterday. They feed all the workers lunch and things. And everywhere you went, I mean, as soon as I got out of my car, you know, I could smell it. I said, "You are tantalizing this neighborhood." Well, you can imagine a man that's famished and hungry and starving, been out all day long and looking forward, and he's got a hearty appetite, and he smells that a half mile away. The wind's blowing his direction. Half mile away, he smells it, and he's walking up, and it just, man, he can taste it. You ever been waiting on your food at a restaurant, and some waiter brings by a tray, and maybe it's one of those fajitas, and it's sizzling, As they're bringing it by, and you can smell it so much you can taste it. Well, he wanted it. And Jacob, the shrewd man that he was, he said, "Sure, I'll make you a deal. You sell me your birthright and you can have all you want. Otherwise, no go." And Esau sold his birthright. Sold the position of decision for the family for his family, for seeking God and God's blessing upon, and all that God intended for him, sold it for just a bowl of vegetable stew. We say that's a horrible thing. I wonder what we as Christians sell out the beauty and the best of God's will for our life because of something that's a possession, or something that's a pleasure, or something that offers some kind of power, and it's fleeting, and Satan laughs at us. And we come to the Lord. We say, "I don't know what to do. I've wrecked my life. I don't have anything to offer. I'm sold out. I have nothing on the shelf to offer." In Judas's case, he had nothing to live for. We know what happened to him. And Jesus was very true when he said it'd be better for him never been born. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to spend eternity in a place where Judas exists. You're going to spend eternity away from the presence of God. You're going to spend eternity in the judgment that God prepared for the devil and his angels, where the flame dieth not. There's a real place called hell. And that's why Jesus came. He came to die for my sins and for your sins. He came to tell us that the possessions and the power and the pleasures of this world will never satisfy. Only Jesus Christ can satisfy the needs of your heart. And he showed you how much he loved you when he hung on the cross and he died in your place. Now that's the message. That's the message. For a Christian, why don't you just say this: "Lord, I don't want to sell out to the world. I don't want to sell out to Satan, to the world and the flesh and the devil. I want to sell out to the Savior. I want your peace. I want your provision. I want your place of authority. That's what I want. That's lasting, both here and throughout all of eternity." By the way, I've got a secret to tell you. You're never going to die. You mean I can stop taking vitamins? Oh, our body. Our body's going to quit living. But the real Dan Lovett, the real Carl, the real Mark Sears, the real Bradley, we're going to go on living somewhere forever and ever and ever. One of two places: in the presence of God or out of the presence of God, in a place called hell. It's your choice. No one's twisting your arm. The Holy Spirit's knocking on your heart's door. As a Christian, won't you say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you. I recognize all the songs that we've been singing about you dying on the cross. I understand that. I accept that. Lord, I'm going to commit to you. I'm going to sell out to you, not to Satan, but to you as my Savior. Lord, you direct me and guide me. There may be somebody in here God wants to one day be a missionary. There might be somebody in here that God's speaking to your heart saying, pick up some of those gospel tracts and give someone a gospel tract this week. Take some of the journey tickets. Invite somebody. Tell them, hey, here's free tickets to Journey Through Christmas. I want you to have these. Free tickets to Journey Through Christmas. Just hand them out everywhere you go. Like Johnny Appleseed, you know, spreading the seed of God's word. The sower. Would you do that? Could you do that? Is there anything hindering you from doing that? Lord Jesus, there are people here in our midst who have been gloriously saved by your grace. Lord, I'm one of those. I deserve to be in hell right now. But because you loved me so much that you died in my place and offered me the free gift of salvation, Lord, by your grace, I received that. My faith and trust was in you, repenting of my sins and turning to the Savior. Thank you for saving my soul. I pray that there be some, Lord, here today that would say, if I died right now, preacher, I don't know that heaven would be my home. May they today turn to you. May they today say, yes, I'll receive the gift of salvation. I'll put my faith and trust. I ask you, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, before I close this prayer, would you do just that? Would you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Our heads are bowed. Would you whisper a prayer to God if God is speaking to your heart right now? It could be that God brought you here for this specific reason to save your soul. Would you not reject Him today? Receive Him today. Simply pray something like this and mean it from your heart. Would you please? Whisper it to God right there where you sit. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I believe that you died in my place. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I put my faith and trust in you to take me to heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Our heads are still bowed, our eyes are still closed. If there be one with no one looking but me, I'm going to lift my eyes now. Would you allow me the privilege of rejoicing with you? I'll not embarrass you or point you out, but I will thank God for what He's done in your heart and your life. I won't name you if I knew your name. You say, preacher, I settled that today and I meant it. Would you slip your hand up and take it right back down? Yes, sir. God bless you. Amen. Who else? You put your hand down. Who else? I prayed that just then, preacher, and I meant it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Who else? Who else? Preacher, I prayed and asked Jesus to save me just then, and I meant it. God spoke to my heart. I answered His call. Yes, sir. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? I rejoice with these. Praise the Lord. I wonder how many of us are Christians. The Lord committed His all to us. When they stretched His arms out upon the cross and nailed Him to that old rugged cross, He was giving everything for us. I wonder how many of us are willing to sell out for a very low price. Possessions, pleasures, power, what is it? What's your price? Lord Jesus, I pray that we as your people now, as two men raise their hand saying they received you as their Lord and Savior, I rejoice about that. I pray, Lord, that you would move upon your church Lord, I pray that you would speak to us today. There might be some that need to come and bow the knee, proclaim you as Lord of their life. There might be others that need to say, this is the church home that I'm supposed to serve in. Lord, you've spoken to their heart and you've given them peace and direction. Lord, I pray that you would lead them, that this is where you want them to serve. Lord Jesus, I pray that if there's some that need to be baptized, that they would obey you. Lord, there are many of us that need to come and pray for someone else, intercede for a lost loved one or friend. I pray, God, we will surrender to your call. Lord, may there be no problem receiving orders from heaven and us obeying. That was Judas's problem. He wanted to be in charge. I pray that that would never be the personality or the way of believers here. In Jesus' precious name. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. I'm going to ask you to stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed. If you receive Jesus Christ, I rejoice with you. Let me tell you something from my soul to yours. One of the greatest things you could ever do is to publicly proclaim your Savior before others. That'd be the greatest thing. That you're not ashamed of Jesus. I invite you to do that. Others, if God's moved upon your heart to obey Him in believer's baptism, and you've not been baptized, I invite you to come. We can take care of that this morning. Maybe some need to join this church. Make it officially your home, your base of operations for serving Jesus Christ, your commander in chief.